Blog Talk Radio.
Bonbo, Daju, Ijaru, user of baton to cause more confusion. Listen, and ye shall hear me in the wind. Know it is my thunder that gives a warning in the dark. Do not dare deny me through false tongue, my daughter. Do not anger me with fences of blindness, for you must run wild and free of injustice to celebrate me, and it is you who must call forth the storm of change. You are now listening live and always in archive at your leisure and convenience to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Elegun Oloye Hudu Obeya Bokor, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is truly and indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion and a test and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my ever-living reality. It is crucial to the very foundation of my inner standing, my teaching, my walk, my works along this divine, all-blessed and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and inner standing, a place from where I begin, a place from where I realize and crystallize all my endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine, all-blessed reality. And so it is. Ashe, oh, ashe. Today is Wednesday, Mercredi, Janvier 16, 2019, and I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum universally from this working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, Thai Potions, Hoodoo Central, Black Hawk Voodoo here in this beautiful and enchanted city of New Orleans, Louisiana. I am also joined by my featured and very special co-host and guest, Awo Baba Ojolola Fa Akin, broadcasting, simulcast broadcasting with me from Augusta, Georgia. All is truly and indeed a blessing. We are honored and grateful by those who join us here at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time for the Power Lunch, Revolutionary Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo, Secrets and Recipes, here on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/the-divine-prince. And my live listening and calling number is area code 347-215-8967. 347-215-8967. Beloved, when you are ready with your question, comment, request, please do press the number one on your telephone keypad. We will be more than happy to welcome you into this squared circle of gods and goddesses, this sacred space here on Blog Talk Radio. And also be mindful that my website, where I can be reached utilizing various means virtually 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, is www.houseofthedivineprince.com. And please do join me at oursacredstories.com. Myself, Denise Augustine, Historic Treme, for your tour plus experiences, please join us at oursacredstories.com. All is truly and indeed a blessing. Aboro, Aboye, Baba, Ojolola, I'm trying to open your mic. Am I switchboard just froze on me, but welcome, greetings. You should be on with me now. Your mic is hot. I'm
yes,
so glad that you find the time to be present with us every day at high noon here on Blog Talk Radio.
It's a pleasure to be here. This is Awo Ojolola Johnny Fashakin, coming to you live in Augusta, Georgia. And I want to thank all of you for joining us here. I give thanks to Olodumare Iba Olo Damari, Iba Ifa, Iba Bogbo Risha, Atia Umale, Iba Egungun, Ati Egbe, Iba Yami. I pray that we all have long life, good health, good spouses and good children, good homes and good businesses, and that we have peace, love, happiness and harmony, and abundant prosperity. I pray that we have victory over all adversity and all enemies, and that we have all great blessings of life for all of our days, Ashe. For those of you who would like to reach me, I can be reached via email at awo.ojelola.ifashakin@gmail.com. That's awo.ojelola.ifashakin@gmail.com. And I'm also available via Facebook at Ojelola Ajani Ifashaki. I just want to say hello to everybody, and let's get on with our show.
Ashe, indeed. It puts me in the mind of spirit communication, which is indeed our topic of the day, our continued topic of the day, with a focus today on spirit communication. I remember I had many experiences with spirit as a young child, but one of my earliest memories of indeed spirit communication was through automated writing. We all can kind of remember, you know, or you have children and you've seen children, particularly at the younger ages, who like to scribble and play with crayons and pencil or pen, and maybe not necessarily have an artistic skill, ability, or goal, but just enjoy the movement of that utensil across the paper and the trail that it would leave. And so I can remember in junior high and even into senior high performing automated writing, not just for myself, but more importantly for other people. I think spirit communication is indeed a inner voice, an inner connection to spirit, something that guides and directs and moves us as an individual with all energy. It is a universal presence. And so spirit doesn't speak to us, show us imagery, give us dreams for our entertainment. I often say that we aren't gifted with spiritual gifts or skills, psychic abilities, ability to see into other people's lives for our entertainment. Some people claim to be able to switch that on or off to some degree. Others, as with myself, it cannot be switched off. It's not something that I can turn off or on any more than I can playing the piano. It is a skill that I can choose to do and operate and move in and in consciousness in any given moment. But it's not something that you lose, like learning to ride the bike. And so I remember doing spirit communication, and even in junior high school, being able to see and interpret things that I was seeing, that I was envisioning, that I had not even yet experienced myself, had not even yet grown into adulthood and life fully for myself to understand, but I knew what I was seeing. So there's a level of trust that has to be developed in terms of spirit communication. Test the source. Where is the source? Where is it coming from? I believe Baba would agree with me that in more formal forms of divination like Ifa, we've already clarified that we are drawing from the spirit of Ifa, from that energy, that power, that deity that is Fa or Ifa. And the evangelical Christian would say, well, we're drawing that power from the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit that leads and guides. And each tradition, including tarot, is going to have a source, a power, from which they're pulling that communication from. So communication with spirit is something that is indeed organic, natural, gifted, but it has to be developed. It has to be formulated. It has to be a relationship built between you and that power, that gift, and that skill, and the source from which you pull from. Are you with me, Iwo?
I'm with you, and I am in definitely full agreement. We have a source that we pull from, and we have to develop that relationship, develop that communication in order to be effective. For instance, Ifa, we communicate with Arumala, we communicate with all the other Orisha, but we have to learn how to do it. There are proper incantations to invoke these spirits. There are what we call Oriki, which are praise terms of all the Orisha. And by praising them properly, we can call them forward, and they will do what we need them to do. They will assist us. There's a lot of things to learn in the way of communication with the Orisha. I'll just leave it at that for the moment.
And indeed, the validation, again, of the spirit, the power, the force that's speaking. I remember, again, many of my long-term listeners know that I have a sort of an evangelical Christian upbringing, but it was in a spiritualist church environment. So we indeed interacted, moved in and out of the realm of spirit each and every time we came together in any space. But there was always this emphasis on interpretation, proper interpretation, testing the spirit, being clear of the spirit in which you are making some connection or contact with. This has often been used as a force of fear for many people. And so the religious folk would say that it's all a cult, it's all evil, it's all darkness, it's all a slippery slope into some place that you cannot come back from. But we see that manifestation of spirit in all world traditions. In Haitian voodoo, Louisiana voodoo, we see communication with spirit by way of trance possession. So the emphasis is not uniquely placed on divination tool. Indeed, particularly in Haiti, they use not tarot cards, but a regular deck of cards and utilize them, manipulate them in similar fashion as tarot. But the faith and the trust of the practitioner and the participants within the culture of voodoo is often strongly placed on possession. And so the Mambo, the Hokan, the Bokor, the voodoo will not only conduct like an orchestra the flow and move of energy in a room, in a ceremony within that space, along with the aid of the rhythms of the drum and the bells and the shaker and the percussion, which are all very encoded, rhythmically encoded sounds, rhythms, which have sequences, which have a count, which have a number that are designed to invoke very specific forces, very specific powers into the ceremony, and then possession begins. the voodoo practitioner is often not the only one to take on a possession. But as is said in the case of the Holy Spirit in the church, things are done decently and in order. And so everyone doesn't just randomly, simultaneously take on possession. You ultimately end up with chaos. There has to be some level of demonstration of the presence of spirit. And in this case, we're talking about spirit communication. So there's going to be a language that's going to be clear and decipherable and discernible. As I'm sure Awa would agree that universal, if you will, decipherable, discernible, if they're going to require a deal of interaction, authentic interaction with spirit to personalize the messages and make sure that the messages are not just random or general or generic, but are specific to the person that is sitting across from you on the table. And so in the Haitian New Orleans voodoo tradition of possession, there is indeed an unseen order of things where the possession is taking place, the practitioner or the horse, as it is called, has taken on the possession, and then the message is communicated often through a language. Sometimes it's in, if you're in Haiti, it's going to be in Haitian Creole. But then there are practitioners, such as myself, who can speak Fon, Eve, Akan. I might start speaking Arabic on you in the middle of a possession if there are Arabic ancestral spirits present in the ritual, in the reading, whether it's in the client that I'm looking at or in what powers, assistance I might need as a practitioner. So spiritcation is not just random, not just sort of a spontaneous falling out of one space of reality into another, but it is a very skilled, tried and proven skill that can be measured for its accuracy, but also can be allowed a certain amount of space to allow spirit to speak. In Western culture, we are taught almost intuitively from a very young age to ignore spirit, to overlook spirit, to invalidate all forms of spirit. And we might say it's your imagination. We might call it intuition. We might say you have a feeling about something, but you can't trust your feeling. Your colleague, your friend might say, but you don't have proof of that. You haven't seen that. Mm-hmm. How do you know that? And that rational part of your brain is looking for evidence. And as a practitioner, Baba, you've heard me say before, I'm not really a right brain practitioner. I have those skills, but I'm a left brain practitioner. And there's math, there's science, there's practicality to an FO, to a prescription that is predictable. I said practicality, but I meant predictability. In doing a formula that has been passed down through lineage, you know, from generation to generation, that has been tried, I want to give you an opportunity to speak. I know you might want to respond to that. I also want to remind our listeners, every day we offer our listeners to press number one and also bring your questions, comments, and requests into the conversation. Go ahead, Baba.
Okay. You touched on something there that I want to speak on, which was the speaking in different languages. In the evangelical Christian churches, they have, in not only evangelical, but Baptist churches, a lot of the Christian churches, they have this thing of this idea of speaking in tongues when spirit takes over you. Right? What they're speaking in is not anything that anybody understands. it's just rambling on with a lot of gibberish. And the idea of speaking in tongues in Christianity comes from the time when the Spirit, Holy Spirit, came over the apostles and they began speaking in tongues. But that speaking in tongues was speaking the various languages of the different regions of earth so that they could be understood by others.
I'm sorry, Baba, I didn't mean to cut you off. Both of those things are, and I don't want to turn this into a biblical discussion, because clearly I'm not here to defend or protect the church in any way. But in terms of the spiritual gift itself, the text does make a distinction between speaking in tongues and speaking in other tongues. And I agree with you, a great deal of what you are hearing, seeing manifest is gibberish. I would offer that a great deal of what you are hearing and seeing manifest from the average tarot card reader is gibberish. You absolutely have to have a connection to spirit to not only utilize this learned skill or tool, if you will, but then to be able to cross that veil between our dimensional space and spirit space. So in Acts, the book of Acts, which I believe you're referencing, it says other tongues, and they were able to hear and recognize and identify their foreign language being spoken by people who they knew had no knowledge of that language. So you're absolutely right. But there's also a reference to other tongues, and that, and I can't quite place it right now, and again, I'm not trying to be a Bible scholar, but generally speaking, it says right after that, that when this speaking in tongue is taking place, that there should be an interpreter present. And so it might show up as an intelligible language to the average viewer, but there should be someone in that ceremony, in that room, in that who is able to interpret clearly what is being said. So when those elements, those protocols, you talked about protocols, prayers before invoking certain orisha, certain spirits, certain powers onto the divination board. Well, then it's the same thing in the speaking of tongues. There are certain protocols that should be in place if the authentic interaction with spirit is taking place. But as Baba already has confirmed, often it's a gibberish, some showing, you know, people falling out, you know, and it's typically certain players in the group that fulfill this either out of ego, out of a need to, you know, be the one to show up on Sundays. But often that whole idea that the speaking in tongue is a form of spirit communication, which means that there's something, a result tied to it. There's a message that is being transmitted. That is to be documented and then proven. That same book that they talk from also says you got to test the spirit. And so we test the spirit in Ifa. You're calling, invoking very specific deities in that process. Haitian voodoo, New Orleans voodoo, the France possession is slightly different in that in a formal setting, there's an array of deities that are invoked. And they have an order, just like the Orisha fall in a particular order. These Loa, these deities are invoked, are acknowledged, are praised, are fed in a particular order. And then there's a portion of the ceremony where, you know, every spirit has been acknowledged, the ancestors have been acknowledged, everyone is sort of woke fully, physically and spiritually in the ceremony. Many of these ceremonies take hours. All night. You might show up at 4 in the afternoon and you might not leave until 9 the next morning. So there's a transition that takes place in your body, in your mind, in the rhythm and the pacing of the music. Just like working out, you don't just sprint. You stretch first. You warm up. You make sure your body is limber. then you have probably a basic routine that you follow, and then you go into your more strenuous athletic endeavors. And so operating exercise in the spirit, in spirit communication, is very much a similar process. In commercialized divination, you don't often have a sacred space, a sacred environment. You're often working up against a time clock, particularly if you're in someone else's space, and they have hired readers in that space who are often making not much more than minimum wage. And the shop owner, just as they price all their other retail items, you know, is getting a percentage off the top for the maintenance of the store. And so in that environment, you know, you're seeing a fortune teller. You're seeing the, you know, tarot card reader. They're not even trying to perpetrate bone readers in these sort of commercialized spaces. And it's just not the right suitable environment to truly have an authentic interaction with spirit and spirit communication, and then to have that documented in a way that can be tested. How many people have a reading done and then you don't have paperwork, you don't have a audio tape, you don't have anything but your memory to go on? One of the things that I applaud Ifa and Fa divination for is the structuring of Odu and the ability to document and record that information for posterity. A week out, 2 weeks out, you've got to gauge your process, your progress in the prediction, your progress in whatever message was given on the board. Baba, with what time we have, I want you to also talk about the organic necessity of Ebo in divination. In Western culture, we seek the reader, the fortune teller, and to give us a good word. And there's really no thought about homework. What do I, as the client, as a Quran, need to do, the initiate, the listener, need to do with this information so that it does something positive and beneficial and fruitful for me and then for my community?
Am I on? My mic on?
Yeah, you've always been on.
Oh, okay. The Ebo is a form of prayer. It's a form of communication with spirit. And basically what it is that you are thanking the Orisha in advance for what they're going to do for you. You're giving them gifts, which is usually in the form of some food. And in turn, they will help you. And the Ebo comes from, it's a prescription of certain things that is determined through the divination process. Because in divination, you get a certain Odu. That Odu will have certain verses that are applicable to the client at the time. And in those verses is specified what Ebo is necessary, what sacrifice, what offerings, what gifts you are going to give in order to receive help from the Orisha.
It sounds almost like an exchange of energy.
Excuse me?
It sounds almost like an exchange of energy of some sort.
Yes, it is. That's exactly what it is. All right. For instance, if there's an Ebo to avoid death, a lot of times a rooster may be offered. All right. And the blood of the rooster is taken instead of your own life. There may be an offering of some clothing, an article of clothing. Usually it's a favorite piece of clothing that you might have, or very fancy piece of clothing. And again, that is so that clothing is taken instead of your life. And you are communicating with spirit. You're letting them know, okay, I'm giving you this so that I may be spared. Or in a case where there's great blessings to be bestowed upon you, you say, I'm giving you this so that you will bless me, so that you will ensure that my blessings reach me.
Well, is that a bargain or a bribe?
No, it's not a bribe. It's definitely not a bribe. It's an exchange. It's like, it's, as I said in the beginning, it's thanking them in advance for what they are going to do for you. Definitely no bribe involved. You're not trying to con the Orisha into doing something for you. You're openly thanking them for what they are going to do. And that exchange is something that's very, very powerful. And we definitely need that. You can't do without it.
I believe there's a saying in indigenous or Native American culture that in order to gain anything from nature, you must give. So
yes. There
was an understanding that they didn't pick from the tree, they didn't take from the ocean or the water or from the ground without giving something back, replacing something there, offering something there, so it was an exchange. And unlike Western commercialized culture, they also didn't take or partake of more than they needed.
Right.
The meat, the food substance would not be wasted. It wouldn't just be something that we place at the tree to go to decay. There's a structure, again, an order to how we offer Ebo, food sorts, donations, offerings to the spirit, invoking that exchange of energy so that we indeed get the results, manifest results that we seek. Oh, we also talked yesterday too, Baba, a little bit about, we mentioned briefly Iray and Asorgbo, I remember an elder telling me a story about, you may know that story, about the nature of Asorgbo and Iray, and that there was actually more Asorgbo present in the universe than Iray, and that's why trouble and challenging energy seems to be so prevalent and so consistent as a part of the human mind space. Another elder sort of gave me the understanding that what science now classifies as dark matter, this presence of this abundance of undescribable, unexplainable, unmeasurable energy that we can't see, but they suggest that it's a great deal more of it, that it somehow influences or puts some kind of force on all matter in the universe, and it mirrors to me that story that I was told about there being more Asorgbo available in the universe than Iray, and that's why we must do Ebo.
I don't know that there's more, but there is a balance of good and bad, and of evil and righteous. There is a balance, and we have to try to maintain that balance. I want to correct something on the language there, all right, I notice you're saying, which a lot of people say, is Osogbo. It's not Osogbo. It's Osobo. All right, which actually means it throws off Igbo. Igbo meaning the the determinants, the objects that we use to determine negative and positive.
And yeah, you might not be hearing me correctly, but that's what I said. Osogbo, S-O-S-O-R-B-O, not with a G. And I understand that is a common mistake.
It's actually O-S-O-B-O. And as I said, the meaning is that it throws off Igbo. And the opposite of that is, of course, Ire. And Ire and Osogbo are equal. And we have to maintain that equality. And that's what we try to do through Igbo. We want to maintain balance. It's like, for instance, when we have a reading and it comes in Ire, right? The Igbo has to be done because there's a task that we have to do, which is when there's Ire, there's also equal Osogbo, so that we have to, in a way, throw off the Osogbo in order to bring about Ire. There's always the attempt, not only the attempt, there's always the effort to maintain balance, to establish balance. And like people see a reading that comes out on Osogbo and they say, oh boy, I'm in trouble now. No, you're not. You're not, because Ifa has revealed what these negative things are, and we know how through Igbo to bring about the good things or minimize bad things. And likewise, people receive a reading that comes out in Ire, and they think, oh, life is great, no problem. That's not exactly true either. Because when we have Ire, we also have the negative forces which are going to try to throw that Ire off. So again, we have to maintain the balance. And we do that through Igbo. That's it.
A dash of cayenne to the root. Gonna put on my grease suit, boil a gumbo hot and steady. Don't care if Freddy ready. Gonna pray at that old cemetery down on Claiborne where she's buried. Build a fire on the bayou when a black cat scratched at two under a full moon that's blue. Chant the magic words, Kufaru. a dash of cayenne to the roux. Gonna put on my Greek grease suit.